If you will tonight, I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Mark. The book of Mark, chapter number 5, if you will. The book of Mark, chapter number 5. And I want to bring a thought we'll begin reading. And if we wanted to have a thought tonight on the thought that I have on my heart, it is this thought: rubbing shoulders but never touching. Rubbing shoulders but never touching. Notice in verse number 24, the Bible said, "And Jesus went with him," and he's talking about a man by the name of Jairus. "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she had said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turning him about in the press, and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?' And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague.'" Let's pray. Our gracious and most kind Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask tonight that you would use us. I ask tonight that your sweet Spirit of God would so touch my lips of clay that I may be able to bring forth in a manner the truth of this text, something that would fall within the fertile soil of the hearts of the hearer, that it may flourish and abound and bring forth truth in days to come. Lord, it may aid them and help them, that they may be a better child of God and honor you and serve you with all of our life. And we'll love you and thank you and praise you for all that you're doing, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. As I said, when you read your Bible, when you study your Bible, I encourage you to read it in color. When I read the Word of God, wherever that text is, whatever it is, I try to go over there and live that text. If it's David going down in the valley of Elah to fight a Goliath, I like to envision myself, Brother Rick, of reaching my hand into that water and picking up those smooth stones. Whether it be the Hebrew children that are willing to deny the king and be willing to go into the fiery furnace, I want to live that event. And so when I come here to this particular event, I find that we have a Jesus here in the text, and he is conceited. There's a ruler here of the synagogue by the name of Jairus, and his heart is heavy. His heart is very disturbed because his little daughter is laying at home of a grievous disease, and there at the very point of death. But in the process of asking her, Jesus has considered and consented to go. And as he's consented to go, the Bible says here that there is a multitude. There is a vast group of people. Doesn't give the exact number, but they are living the idea of a press there. Literally means to press in on all sides of him. And they gathered around him, and this mass of folks is moving along. And the Bible said that there is a woman here. And all of a sudden, he's moving along. He's in that mass of folks. And all of a sudden, get the picture. Very abruptly. I mean, it's not just a gradual thing. It's not just a simple thing. But he's moving with a mass of people. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, and it's specific, he wheels around. And he said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, in the midst of the text, I want you to notice the alarm of the disciples. They can't believe it. They're trying to figure out why in the world, how would you even come up with the idea of saying such a thing? Don't you see this mass of people? I mean, they're pressing in. They're almost to the point of lifting you up on their shoulders, and you're moving along, and you want to know who touched your clothes? But see, there's a difference here. The disciples are here, and they're looking for the people. But may I say, Jesus is not looking for the people. He's looking for a person. In other words, here he is. They're moving along, and the Bible says a certain somebody, a specific one, has come, and they've eased up, and they come for the reason that they're here to touch me. You say, who's Jesus looking for tonight? He's looking for those that are looking for Him. He desires to interact with those that are desiring to interact with Him. And here He is. He's moving, and He immediately turns around. And in other words, this woman is looking for Jesus, and Jesus is looking for her. Now, I want to make a comment tonight by way of introduction. See, when you come to these people here, they saw a miracle. In other words, everybody that day that was there, Brother Rick, in that crowd, that woman was slipped up, and that woman that had that issue of blood for 12 years, that woman that spent all, nothing, no physician, no one could help her, but somehow Jesus helped her, and the crowd saw it. But may I say, while the people saw a miracle, the woman secured a miracle. You say, what's your point, Brother Bob? May I say, I believe that part of what is wrong with our churches today is we've got more people that are coming to church to see something than to secure something. In other words, they're just like this massive crowd. I'm not trying to be mean, but I believe part of them don't even know why they're there. They just want to see something. They're just interested. Whatever it is, I've been in meetings before, and they say something like this. Hey, just all come and see what God will do. Why come and just see what He'll do? Why not come and secure something that He would do? Matter of fact, over there, as I've been reading through my devotions, over there in the book of Luke, when they brought Jesus there to Pilate, and Pilate found out that He was a Galilean, and he sent Him over to Herod, and the Bible says, and Herod, he was excited to see Him. You know what's sad? He didn't just need to see Jesus. He could have secured something from Jesus. But he wasn't interested in that. And I'm afraid that that's the thing that is sort of blowing through in our church world today. We got more people that want to see something. And in order to do that, you know what we've got to do? We've got to have programs. We've got to have entertainment. We've got to have stuff that they can leave here seeing something. Nobody's interested in coming and meeting with God and getting anything. May I say, if all we're doing is seeing something, it leaves us in the same weak, anemic condition that we were when we met. Here they are. The crowd is moving along, and the people see a miracle, but the woman secures a miracle. You say, how does that sort of transpire? Well, let me give you a little truth, as I said by way of introduction. Did you know that you can be in something and not of something? You can be in something, but not of something. You say, what do you mean, bro? Over there, when Jesus was talking to His disciples, and He looked at them in John 17:11, He said, but ye are in the world. Now, the idea there is denoting a fixed position in time or state before the presence of. In other words, Jesus said to every one of His disciples, whether you like it or not, you are in the presence of this world. Every one of us here tonight, no matter whether you're saved or lost, may I say, you're in this world. You occupy a place in the physical presence of this world. That's not going to change. The only way it can change is either rapture or the grave, one of the two. But to that same crowd, you know what he said? You're in the world, but you're not of the world. That word of there denotes a point of origin, a point from which action or motion proceeds to belong to as a part, to gain one's, literally, to gain one's condition from. You know what he's saying? Hey, you folks that are here, you disciples that are here, you're in the presence of the world, but you didn't derive your origin from them. You didn't derive your life from them. You say, what's your point? May I say that my point is, this woman's in the multitude, but she's not of the multitude. She's in the presence of that mass of folks. She's gathered there in that crowd. Nothing's going to change about that. But you know what? May I say, when you look at that entire crowd, she's not of them. She doesn't derive her origin. She doesn't derive her being. She doesn't derive who she are by being part of that multitude. You say, what makes the difference? Her beliefs. Do you know what makes the difference between you and that world out there? Your beliefs. You know what sets you apart when you go to the job site or go to the grocery store or go out in the community or you young people that are out there socializing with other young people? You know what separates you from everybody else? Your beliefs. May I say, when she came, she was in that crowd, but she was not of it. And may I say, Jesus knew it and she knew it. And may I say, would to God tonight that we've had some folks that have come in tonight and not want to just see something, not want to just be entertained, not know for a real reason why they're here, but they've come in order that they may secure something. If Jesus would just pass our way, that somehow we could secure something from Him. I want you to notice just a couple of things of how that she is here and she is separated there and she is literally, while others have rubbed, she has touched the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that in verse number 28, notice first of all, she had a different purpose. She had a different purpose. The Bible said, and for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, I'm unsure in a lot of these days and hours that this massive crowd would gather around Jesus. I'm not sure they even knew why they were there. I think there was just a general interest, just a general excitement that they just wanted to gather up. Matter of fact, there when he talked about one crowd that Brother Rick had finally come around the Sea of Galilee and found him, he said, you didn't come for who I am. You come for the fishes and the loaves. You come for nothing more than the entertainment of yourself and the sufficiency of yourself. But may I say, this woman's there on a different purpose. Matter of fact, I'm not trying to be mean, but other than her going there to get something from the Lord and Jesus and the disciples and Jairus, what's the other crowd going to do? What are they there for? If it's not just to be entertained, not just to see. As far as I know, the only two people that are there that have come for a real purpose is Jairus and this woman. But she has a purpose. You say, what do you mean, Brother? Notice, if you will, here, she comes and her purpose is, she say, if I may touch, I shall be whole. Now, notice three things right here. Notice she was there, first of all, to touch. That means to attach oneself or touch in a way in order that one forms a relationship. Then she said, there, she's not only there for a touch, but she's there for a transformation. Look at that verse 20. I shall be made whole means delivered, healed, or to be preserved. In other words, you look at her condition. May I say, she's in a terrible condition. She's sick. She's had 12 years of nothing but doctor after doctor and affliction after affliction. She wants to have a transformation take place in her life. But may I say, thirdly, she's not only there to touch, not only there for a transformation, but she's there for a transfer. Look at verse number 30, and I don't know if this will bless you, but notice the Bible said, he said virtue had gone out of him. That word virtue means force, miraculous power, implying a miracle. Now think about this. I don't know if this will bless you, but it does me. If it left him, wonder where it went. Now, I begin to think about this is the way this is the way this message began to evolve or begin to develop in my heart, and is this. Everything that's happening in this woman's life is nothing more than the basic nature of the Christian life. It's nothing more than the basic nature of the Christian life. You say, well, what do you mean, Brother Bob? Well, let me ask you a question. Should not our desire to be, no matter what, from the time we're saved all the way through our Christian life, should it not be the desire of our heart to form a relationship with Christ? In other words, that idea, that word touched, means to get a hold of. Can I ask you a question? How many service would you really be honest within yourself that you've come in and sat for an hour and 20 minutes through a service and got a hold of Jesus? That you formed a bond, that there was something that you were strengthened. May I say, I got saved on Easter Sunday of 1963, and just as a lad of a boy. You know what I'd love to think? I'd like to think every time that I come to church, my bond is getting stronger. My relationship is getting stronger. I'd like to think today that I know Him better than I knew Him the day I got saved. I'd like to think that He and I are closer, that there's a greater union within Him and within me tonight. But you know the sad part, and there's preachers sitting here right now, and you know what you can attest to? You've seen people that's made an act of profession, and they've sort of filled the pews on occasion in the church, and there's no difference in relationship today than the day they say they got saved. Can I ask you a question tonight? Is your relationship with Christ been enhanced? Has it been strengthened? You say, what? Well, I don't know. Why do you think? Let me ask you a question. Did you come tonight possibly to get a hold of Him? Did you come tonight to reach out? Did you come tonight to establish or get a hold of it? Hey, I want to tell you, I enjoy those times, whether it's in a church service or whether it be on the front porch and me doing my devotions or brother riding along in my car, that somehow I can get a hold of Him and He takes a hold of me. I've noticed it. In my preaching and being around in churches, I've noticed I can tell the level of where people are by either the singing or the preaching. You say, what do you mean, Brother Bob? Well, if they shout when all they sing about is heaven, but they never shout about anything about being one with Him, I pretty well know where they're living. I can pretty well tell whether or not that they're in tune with camp meeting, but they're out of touch with Bible conference. You say, what do you mean, Brother Bob? May I say, in them early years, those honeymoon years, that you're so excited about your salvation, you're so excited about what He's done, and I'm not talking about getting over that, but may I say, dear friend, somehow get beyond that. Get beyond the point that you know Him not only as your as your Savior, but you know Him as an intimate friend, one that you can bear your soul to, that you can love and embrace. Let me say this, and some of you are not going to understand this, but I want to tell you, if you ever move far enough along with God that you ever get to the bedroom with Him, you'll never be satisfied living anywhere else. This woman had a purpose. And her purpose was to somehow increase this bond. Somehow, if I can just touch Him, somehow, if this relationship can be enhanced, that's what I want. But then notice, not only the basic nature of the Christian life is to touch so that there can be the basis of a relationship, but may I say, secondly, for the purpose of a transformation. In other words, when she come, you know what she was, Brother Rick? She's tired of being the person she always was. She's tired of being in that same condition all the time. Can I ask you a question? Even as a child of God, aren't you sometimes sick of being who you are? Aren't you tired of the continual warfare with sin that you've never grown, that there's never been any enhancement in your relationship to the Word by you're being transformed into the likeness and into the character of Jesus Christ Himself? I'm not trying to be mean, but you know what I'd like? I'd like to think I'm a little more like Him today than the day I got saved. Oh, I'm far from being perfect. I don't expect. But the Bible said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Brother Rick was talking about it just a little bit of the joy that he had being able to come here, and some of the young'uns now is now teaching young'uns. There's not a preacher in this building that's here that does not gloat when they think about this. They've seen people walk an aisle, or they've been privileged to lead them to Christ, and now they watch them as they grow, and they take on, and they watch as the old habits of sin begin to fall off, and little by little they're less like the world, and they're more like, I'm not saying that they're perfect, but they begin to take a likeness, and they begin to come off, and the next thing, Brother Don, they're in the ministry, or they're teaching a class, or they lead their first soul to Christ. But we're just content to come and sit on a pew and show me something, preacher. Just let me see something. But where's that crowd that's hungry that says, I don't want to just see it. I want to secure it for myself. I want to come into a service, and whether it be through supplication, salutation, or the Scriptures, I want to leave in a greater bond with Christ. I want to leave closer with Him after this service than when I come in. Not only that, but when I leave here, I'd like a little of the old Adam to die out. See, the truth of the matter is, have you ever thought about this? The Bible said there that He said virtue has gone out of him. Now, I hope you'll understand where. In other words, some of him left, and it had to go somewhere, and it went into her. Now, I may be wrong, Brother Don, but in order for some of him to get into her, some of her had to leave. And you know what? There ought to be a lot of dead people in this building leaving in the newness of a fresh life of Christ after services. She wanted a touch, she wanted a transformation, but listen to this, she wanted a transfer. She wanted, when he said virtue's gone out, in other words, in the process, the Bible tells us, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To be enlarged. See, the greatest thing that could happen tonight in this service, in order that I would consider it a success, is not on how loud you shout. But what I would consider a success in the fact that God would use me is that somehow in this service tonight, God would be pleased to manifest Himself. And as He manifested Himself, you would not be satisfied with just seeing something. But you would secure for yourself a greater relationship. You would secure for yourself a greater likeness of Christ. You would secure for yourself a change whereby you are becoming that new creature that God wants you to be. See, this woman came for a different purpose. As I said, I'm just honest. I don't know why everybody else comes. But a new wash came. Let me give you these. I'm just going to give them to you, and I want to bring it to a close. But she came that she could attach herself to Him in a relationship so that there would be change in her, so she could receive something from Him. I wonder tonight, is that the reason we're here? Is that the purpose that we've made our way to the house of God? She not only had a different purpose, and I'll just give these to you, she had a different position. Everybody else was rubbing shoulders with her. The Bible tells us she desired to touch the hem of His garment. Last time I checked, that's pretty low. In other words, there's a humility about her. I don't know about this other crowd, but I know when they're up, she's down. She's willing to take a subordinate state in order that she can receive something of the Lord. And then not only that, she has a different perspective. Look at verse number 27. Notice what it said. And when she had heard, you know, I don't know everything that I understand about that text. I don't know if it means that she just heard rumors. I don't know if she heard a specific message that somehow he had said that he preached. I don't know if somehow that maybe where it's at in the timeline, whether she may have heard about him stopping the bearer there and giving that boy back to her mother. I don't know exactly where it's at, but this is what I do know. Somewhere she heard that Jesus could help her, and she enacted faith in believing what Jesus could do. And may I say, Jesus did and responded. And the Bible says, Jesus said unto her, thy faith hath made thee whole. We've got a lot of people that are rubbing shoulders with God, but they've never touched Him. They're part of the massive crowd that's moving along. Now think about this just for a moment. The crowd. They have assembled around the right person. They make up the majority. And they're interested in the miraculous. But the only thing they got was a show. While she secured what she needed from God. I hate to say it, but much of what is going on in our country today is nothing but showmanship. And we have settled for seeing things and never securing anything. And it's left us weak and anemic and infants in our relationship with Christ. And I hate to give you the bad news, but there's very few that will ever secure anything from God. Not because they can't. It's because they don't want anything from God. I want you to think about this statement. A touch led to a transfer, and a transfer led to transformation. Is that not really the true nature of the Christian life? A touch that leads to a transfer, and a transfer that leads to a transformation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. May I say positionally, when you got saved, you're everything you'll ever need to be in heaven. But I want to tell you, as long as you're here, there's a continual growing process. In every service, we should desire to come in and touch Him. And we touch Him, there's a transfer. And in the transfer of who He is and what He is, we leave transformed, leaving different than we came. Folks, let's not just be satisfied with seeing something. Let's secure something from God. Let's purpose within our heart that we're going to not just rub shoulders, but if there's somehow in the service tonight, we're going to reach out and we're going to touch Him. Because may I say, that is the greatest thing that we could do tonight. That's the greatest way to have a transformation in your heart and in your life. Don't settle for just see, but secure something from God tonight in your heart and in your life. Would you stand, please?